In reality television, the people are represented by two separate but equally obsessed attorneys. This is their podcast.
Hi, I'm Ceci.
And I'm Angela.
And this is the Bravo Docket.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
In reality television, the people are represented by two separate but equally obsessed attorneys. This is their podcast.
Hi, I'm Ceci.
And I'm Angela.
And this is the Bravo Docket.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Bravo Docket. And welcome back, Angela's voice.
Yay! I mean, it's not totally better, but it's much improved from last time.
Before we get into talking about Erica and the reunion and everything, I want to talk about or like announce here that we are going to be in the upcoming documentary that is airing on Hulu about Jen Shah. We haven't officially said anything on the podcast. I think we were keeping it under wraps until we saw a trailer. But yeah, Angela and I got to be a part of that. Do you want to say anything about it?
No, it was a cool experience, and we don't know the extent of how much we're actually included. We were asked a ton of legal questions, and then, of course, you know, with our encyclopedic knowledge, they asked us a bunch of other things. So we don't know exactly what our role is in it, but we do know we are at least in it for some part of the time, and we're excited about it.
Right. So, yeah, we like spent 3 hours doing all the legal analysis, but if that doesn't make it into the show, I still encourage you to listen to the Jen Shah episode that we just re-released this past week. It basically has everything in it that we talked about when we did the recording. Listen to that episode. Go watch the documentary. There are a ton of legit lawyers in it, I'm sure, and the victims. I can't believe they got victims to speak. It's going to be really good. So we're just so grateful for the opportunity. Really cool. Really cool.
Absolutely.
To be involved. All right. So let's get started talking about... Oh, wait. Before we get into the reunion, we need to talk about the Edelson versus Richards...
Oh, yeah.
...drama.
Oh, yeah. So... yeah.
Because that happened.
Yeah.
Like last week. Yeah.
So Richards, as everybody knows, is the Ronald Richards, the attorney that is... How do you say it? Prolific on Twitter, and he had been tweeting nonstop. He has been replaced as special counsel. We don't have any specific reasons why, other than what Edelson said on Twitter. As Edelson, I will say, is much more demure on Twitter, but he did definitely defend himself against Ronald Richards, and he, being Edelson, claims that Ronald Richards was fired by the trustee.
Yeah. Do you want to explain like more, though? So it's alleged that Ronald Richards was working with Erica to kind of end her role in the bankruptcy by getting her to settle. And Edelson was trying to get his case unpaused so he could go after Erica for money that went to her, allegedly, from the Lion Air plane crash victims. And Ronald kind of like teamed up with Erica to oppose his motion. And Edelson was saying that it was because he was self-involved and or self-interested and like just wanted it to end so he could get his cut of the settlement with Erica.
So, yeah, and it's not always untoward for in multi-party litigation for parties who are on opposite sides to sometimes agree on a particular issue that aligns with both of their interests. However, it seemed to me to be very telling from reading Edelson's pleadings that he filed, where Edelson had very, very specific and parts of it were redacted as they should have been by law. But in Edelson's motion, he's saying, like, look, I have specific evidence that we've uncovered in like 3 days in the time that we had to look at it that shows that actually Erica's company, EJ Global, did specifically get money that could have only come from the Lion Air settlement funds. And they pointed this out to Ronald Richards. Ronald Richards and Erica were accusing Jay Edelson of saying, like, okay, well, these settlement agreements for the Lion Air victims were unconscionable, so all of this money should go into the estate, and basically accusing Edelson of possible disciplinary violations and ethical violations, which is absolutely not something that you can do. It is a set rule, and it's well known that in ongoing litigation, you can't use ethical claims of ethical violations in an attempt to gain an advantage in litigation. That is a huge, big no-no. Edelson came back and pointed that out, that that's what Erica's attorneys and also what Ronald Richards were trying to do. So this was really a lot of drama. But to me, the really fascinating thing was looking at Edelson's pleading and looking at how Edelson said, this money went into this account on this date. The only place this money came from was from the Lion Air settlement funds. That money that went into that account, into the Girardi account, then directly went to pay EJ Global's credit cards and other things. And he's like, this is a direct line that is easy to see. And these are Edelson's allegations from 3 days of forensic accounting that they did. And so that was one of his big issues, was saying, like, my claim should be allowed to proceed. We've already found all of this. Richards is self-interested in wanting this to be settled, so we don't think it's appropriate.
Right, right. And like Richards was saying on Twitter, he was like, no, Erica didn't receive any of the Lion Air settlement funds. And Edelson was like, dude, look at my motion. Yes, she did. It was like he was blocking Edelson's alleged claims, like trying to block him to try and just like get it over with and end it. And you just can't do that. Like he's a creditor. He has a legit complaint. And then suddenly it's like Ronald Richards has a tweet that says, like, I've loved working on this case, but I'm stepping down because I want to talk about it more on Twitter or something. And then Edelson retweeted it and was like, no, dude, you were fired. He is being replaced, or the trustee is seeking to replace Richards with another law firm. So
he has been replaced. That motion was granted the last time I looked at the docket, I believe. Oh. So
he has been replaced.
He's been replaced.
Yeah. And then Edelson's case, in our last episode, we were talking about how he was trying to get it unpaused, like the stay lifted, mm-hmm. and it was lifted. So now his case against Erica can proceed in the Northern District of Illinois.
Yes. I mean, so any other motions will be going on there in Chicago, in that federal court, which is where the case was filed. So that's still going to be going on.
Just against Erica, not against Tom. Tom's stuff is still in the bankruptcy, right?
I think that's right.
Yeah, I think it was the stay. They were trying to lift it just
against Erica?
Against Erica. Yeah.
I think that's right.
Yeah, I think that's right, too. But if not, that is a mistake, and we make mistakes. And if we make a mistake, feel free to email us.
Now, Ceci is just going to edit this out if it's a mistake. Well, we do double check our work.
I just want to say, it's been bothering me. If you find a mistake in our podcast, we are humans. We are allowed to make mistakes. We do put a lot of effort into it. Just send us an email. We'll correct it.
And actually, we have gotten, I think it was, and we were actually really grateful for it. We've gotten comments on our Instagram and the emails saying, like, hey, I think you guys got this wrong with the immigration thing. And then we've literally corrected an episode and re-uploaded it so that we put in the right information. We appreciate that kind of stuff. What's not helpful is if you leave an Apple review that we can't either respond to or we don't see, because those don't show. When you leave an Apple review, it doesn't show up until like 2 weeks later sometimes. And so by then, it's like if you have a valid correction, we'd have, it's like it's already, the misinformation's already out there. Again, we work very hard to be accurate. We work very hard to make sure we are giving you guys correct information, but we're human. Even Louis Vuitton makes mistakes. We're going to make some mistakes.
And you're allowed to make mistakes.
Yes.
Like, I have a post-it note on my computer that says, aren't I allowed to make mistakes every once in a while? And it keeps me going. Anyway, let's dive into the reunion.
Yeah. So Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, four parts. Don't necessarily think it needed to be four parts. But also, it's really like, this is just something I want to mention right off the bat. In a normal reunion series with like normal petty housewife fights or whatever, it's easy to transition from one petty housewife garbage fight to another petty housewife garbage fight. In this reunion, it was really difficult because it's like, oh, they're talking about all these really serious things with Erica. And then they're like, so Sutton, your housekeeper likes to throw shade at your clothes. And it's just really jarring. Like, and it's, I mean, I think this is not Andy's fault because it's really, this is an unusual circumstance, but it was, it almost felt like they should have separated the Erica stuff completely from like the normal things like Sutton's ugly leather pants or whatever.
Crystals.
Or I'm sorry, Crystals. I'm sorry, Sutton. I'm sorry. Crystal's ugly leather pants, which by the way, I thought they looked great on Crystal. Maybe not something I would have worn, but I actually thought they looked really good on her.
No, yeah, they're super cute. They're trendy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it should have been its own special. But then again, like Erica's drama dominated the entire season. Everyone's storyline is kind of based off of her drama.
Did as good of a job of it as they possibly could as far as like having to transition to those other different types of fights and then to, you know, Erica's stuff. Yeah.
To be fair, like, I really zoned out this reunion. I tried to pay attention. I really zoned out. It was too long. Too long. I feel like the good stuff with Erica, there wasn't even good stuff with Erica. You know, I went into it knowing she wasn't going to give real answers because she can't. So
I was really, I feel like there was a couple things. First of all, Andy is not a lawyer. He is a host and a producer, and he has to walk the fine line of asking things in a conversational way and bringing them up, but not being, it's really not appropriate for him to be super adversarial with them. I mean, I agree with that. And it's difficult. And there were a couple things that he did a really good job of. I think when he was questioning her about why didn't you leave? And she's like, well, you know, where was I going to go? And he's like, well, I know how much you make. And then, I mean, he did actually do a good job of pushing some of those things. I think as far as he felt were reasonable. Obviously, all of us watching and then especially attorneys watching were like, oh, my God, why can't you just let me in there to just ask a series of questions with all of the receipts that are there? I mean, I got a little hot. I've got like a huge list of things just of her just lies. And yes, I'm calling Erica a liar because she lies consistently. And that is the definition of a liar. So I've got a huge list of things that I can go off on. I mean, one thing I'm curious about is, do you think that she, it was hard to tell the sequence of the questioning, but I was wondering if Andy really waited until the end of the day to ask her some of the tougher questions until she was tired. And I'm not saying she was on meds, but until some of the meds she possibly was on started to wear down. I mean, that is a lawyer tactic. We do that in depositions. We'll wait to ask the really tough stuff until we think the witness is tired and isn't going to put up as much of a fight. Like, I thought in like the fourth episode, it did look like she was kind of wearing down a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, her answers weren't as well-crafted as they were earlier in the reunion. So maybe.
Maybe. One thing, so like in our last episode, we talked about the IRS issues. If you haven't listened to that episode, I very much encourage you to go back and listen to it, even though my voice sounds like it's been filled with gravel. Ceci really did an excellent job, and I think we pointed out some really interesting things that are incredibly pertinent with Erica's tax returns that could indicate that she could be in trouble no matter where the money she got was coming from. So we encourage you to listen to that. One thing I did want to point out, and this is something actually I think a a listener may have left and reminded me about. So it was the IRS does have an innocent spouse exemption. So if you are married and your husband has been diverting all of your funds and not paying taxes on them and paying for his mistress's lake house or whatever, and there's a big tax bill that's coming for you because he put all of that into an LLC and claimed it was a business expense or whatever, there is an innocent spouse exemption because this does happen, and it happens, unfortunately, with some frequency. There's a series of factors for it. I think I'm going to link it on the website to the actual IRS site because I think it's interesting. Just looking at the factors, it's like, did the money benefit the innocent spouse? Like in Erica's case, it would be very difficult for her to claim that exemption because all of the EJ Global money went directly to her benefit and she's the sole owner of that company. So it's really difficult for her to make any type of innocent spouse argument based on that exemption. This is not a circumstance where the husband is diverting funds and paying for other things and it didn't benefit the innocent spouse in any way. So I just wanted to point that out. So again, like Ceci was saying, that was a really helpful thing for a listener to point out, which we can then address. And we appreciate that. I think I kind of want to go through like a rapid fire timeline. And this timeline is courtesy of our work and then also Reddit user Defiant Detective 5, who really saved me a ton of time this week by posting this incredible timeline. Just before we get into like the reunion stuff, there is just a couple rapid fire dates. So the Lion Air flight, this is the widows and orphans, that crashed on October 29th, 2018. Then January 22nd, 2019, the Law Finance Group sues Girardi and Keys, alleging they failed to pay more than $15 million in loans. They were supposed to hand over settlement proceeds to repay the loans. Then March 27th, 2019, on Watch What Happens Live, Erica is asked whether she feels the need to cut back on her glam squad because of that big $15 million lawsuit against Tom. Erica says, and I quote, "Yeah, it's a lawsuit and I can't comment on it. It's a lawsuit and I pay my own bills. So no, I don't." This is really interesting because she also says several times during the season, "Oh, I used an ATM for the first time like last year and all of my money went to Tom and I have no idea and blah, blah, blah." So, okay, whatever, Erica. March 24th, 2019, Erica's named as a defendant in the lawsuit filed by the Arizona lender. This is the lawsuit that Ceci and I have pointed out that Erica was named in and that she was served in. However, Tom did accept service on her behalf. But Erica, this is the first lawsuit Erica mentioned on the show, where she said that she asked Tom about it and he told her it was bullshit and not to worry about it. She was personally named in that lawsuit. All right. And Tom and Erica are served July 17, 2019 in that Arizona lawsuit. But again, Tom accepted service on Erica's behalf. All right. So by early 2020, Boeing reaches settlements with the crash victims from the Lion Air crash. Edelson, that's the attorney we talked about earlier, and Girardi Keys represent the crash victims and the families. But months later, they're not getting the money. Late July 2020, Edelson PC says it finally gets to speak to Tom Girardi, who says he's been recovering from illness and he's made a mistake and that he's going to get them the money and puts them off, whatever. Late September of 2020, that's when we see the testimony of Tom talking about his stock portfolio of $50 million was all gone and he didn't know where it was and that he had maybe a couple $1,000s in his own bank account. That's from the Ragomez case that, as Ceci and I pointed out, a judgment was entered in. It's not alleged. The reason why Tom was testifying and providing that deposition, that is a examination of someone that owes a debt. That's because a judgment was entered in that case. So it was found by a court of law that Tom had not paid Ragomez his settlement payments. That's not alleged. That's not alleged.
That's a victim. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a legitimate victim. And then he legitimately testified that he didn't have the money. So
that's not like there's someone Eric is saying on the reunion. Well, you know, if anything's found out that my husband, who's been accused of stealing this money and doing it, if that's been found out, you know, how am I supposed to feel with him being accused of that? And if it's true, then yes, they should get things. OK, well, there's several instances where it has been proved that it is, in fact, true. So That's not a thing. Then on November 3rd, 2020, Erica files for divorce from Tom. This is, again, after Erica is saying on the show 4 years, for her whole 5 years or whatever on the show, oh, Tom is the best and I love him and he supports me and that's all I've ever wanted and he's the best and blah, blah, blah. And our marriage is great and we've been together for 20 years and whatever. Whatever. She files for divorce November 3rd, 2020. December 2nd, 2020, Edelson sues Erica, Tom Girardi, and Girardi Keese, accusing them of scheme to embezzle money from the Lion Air Flight 610 settlements. That's where the divorce is called a sham. On December 14th, 2020, the federal judge freezes Tom's assets. That's what we saw on the show with Dorit and all of them talking about, I think they're in Tahoe, how the, were they in Tahoe? Yeah.
No, it was in Palm Springs.
Palm Springs. That's when they were right. In Palm Springs. Yeah. Yeah. And then Dorit's like, you know, I had my assets frozen. It was just because of something my husband did and it was awful. December 17th, the LA Times article comes out that was apparently too long for them to read, except for Sutton, who I love her nickname of Fancy Drew. So late December, early January, the involuntary bankruptcies are filed and those are against Tom and Girardi Keese. And Erica, because Erica and Tom are still married and because California is a community property state, Erica, although she says she's not in bankruptcy, yes, she's not a named party, but there really isn't any way for her to avoid the bankruptcy. She is in bankruptcy. She's just not a named party in the pleading, if that makes sense.
Well, no, she's not filing for bankruptcy.
No.
She's not going through bankruptcy proceedings, but she's involved
because she was married to him. Yeah.
She,
like, in the personal bankruptcy, she is going through bankruptcy proceedings because she's a joint debtor. So it's like, I feel like Erica plays a lot of word games. Okay, yes, you're not a named party in the bankruptcy, but your husband of 20 years, who you're not divorced from yet, in a community property state where there's no prenup and you are jointly responsible for the debts, is in bankruptcy. So, I mean, there's no way for you to escape. She can't escape the bankruptcy. She can't get away.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that makes sense to listeners. So just a note on Erica's finances. Erica is estimated to earn as much as $600,000 a year from Bravo alone. She previously had sponsorship deals with Fenty, Too Faced, Shoe Dazzle. She, for whatever it's worth, was at some point a New York Times bestselling author. She was in the Chicago, you know, in Broadway before the pandemic hit. And she is now living in a 3-bedroom home, paying probably close to $10,000 a month in rent. So she's paying for things now, even though she claims she could never leave.
But, like, the Chicago money would be part of the community property, right? Because that
she made that while they were married. Yeah, yeah,
exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I think she's getting a portion of her $600,000 right now.
There haven't been any garnishments of her wages that we know of.
I'm saying the only money that she legitimately has access to because of the bankruptcy should be what, or like that is untouched by the bankruptcy, should be what she's making after her date of separation.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? So she's only getting a portion of her salary that is untouched by the bankruptcy. You know, you get what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't think they're garnishing anything yet.
I don't think that. No. I don't mean they're garnishing. Like, so November 6th, I think it was, she filed for bankruptcy. If she's making $600,000 a year, she only gets, like, her December salary is untouched. But everything she made before then is part of the community property.
Yes, yes.
Assuming they find in the divorce that is the actual date of separation. Yeah, right. I just want to clarify that. Because, like, when she said $600,000, it's like, oh, wow, that's a lot of money. But if it's embroiled in the bankruptcy proceedings, she really doesn't have access to that much money.
I mean, Tom might need spousal support. He is going to need long-term care if he really does have severe Alzheimer's. So she could possibly owe him. God, my cough's coming back. Spousal support. My Schadenfreude is coming back with my cough.
It's Erica. Erica's coming for you. She just put a hex on you right mid-sentence.
I claim none of that. Erica cannot come for me. She has way more important things to worry about. And like, I feel good. I feel like I've got Jesus on my side here, so I'm not real worried about it. Also, do you need to make me go get my holy water? Like, I keep holy water next to my perfume in the bathroom. I'm Catholic.
Stop.
I do. You never know. Wait,
something I forgot to mention with the Richards thing is that he was arguing like, now Erica's never going to settle because now she has to keep paying for legal fees. And I was like, oh, that's a good point.
Okay, she was going to have to keep paying for legal fees anyway. Like, that's not like...
Yeah, but he was
not
like,
a thing.
This will take one off her plate, you know?
No.
I don't know.
No.
He's just trying to make Edelson feel bad.
It's... Yeah, I'm not... Okay, so... Ceci, let's talk about some of Erica's reunion denials. Do you want to talk about the Erica's denial of the $20 million into her account?
Yeah. Yeah. So I really want to talk about this because I remember when accusations of her company receiving a $20 million loan, it first came out, it was $20 million, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, where did they get this $20 million from? Because now in the proceedings against her filed by the trustee, in the firm bankruptcy, they keep saying like $25 million, not 20, 25. And I'm like, wait, are these different monies? Like, is it different accounts? I don't know. I was just, you know how numbers get to me. Mm-hmm. So I think it's the same quote unquote loan. It's just via more accurate accounting, it's $25 mm-hmm. million. And I don't, she was definitely playing word games because she was like $20 million did not go into my account. And it could have been that it was actually $25 million. But I think what she was trying to say is that she wasn't personally handed that money. And that's also been claimed in her answer
yeah.
to the proceedings. That yeah. she didn't personally get the deposit in her hand. Like, she wasn't handed stacks of cash, which is the word game. Like, no. Okay, yeah, you wouldn't get a bundle of hundreds. But it's alleged that there were transfers into your LLC and it was used to pay your glam squad, your lavish lifestyle.
Right. Again, listen to our previous episode to this, the Erica, because we explain this in detail. This is the piercing the corporate veil alter ego thing. Erica was the sole owner of EJ Global LLC. And so she is trying to say that she is shielded by that corporation, i.e. shielded by the corporate veil. And the creditors, Edelson, all the other people are saying, no, that's a sham. That, like, you can't have this corporate fiction protect you from the fact that Girardi Keys, a law firm, was paying for your vanity project. And then, oh, you started an LLC, so it's fine. That's what mm-hmm. these legal concepts are for. We talk about those in our previous update episode.
Yeah. Like, if we were there or if any attorney was there asking her this, like, if Andy would have said the let's talk about the $20 million you received. And she was like, no, I didn't receive $20 million. If an attorney was there, it'd be like, oh, actually, what about the $25 million that your LLC received? You know,
correct.
Like,
yeah.
There would have been like a follow up to really pin her down.
Isn't
and
it
get
true,
the wording
Erica,
and, like,
that over the span of this many years, your LLC received amounts of blah, blah, blah that total $25 million. And isn't it true that those amounts were credited as a loan, i.e. they are a receivable and you signed those tax returns? Wouldn't you agree? You know, like,
yeah,
it would be
yeah,
stuff
and
like
there wasn't
that.
There wasn't like the follow up because she was trying to like put one over on Andy, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, definitely.
Put one over. I don't even know the phrase. It's a Friday night.
It's Friday.
It's Friday. I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
So the point is, Ceci and I think her comments at the reunion about $20 million didn't go into my account, that's not true. And my attorneys wrote to Page Six and blah, 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 and the LA Times and asked for a correction. Okay. So if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't gotten on Reddit and you haven't read the AMA, which is the Ask Me Anything from the LA Times reporters who specifically discussed this, we encourage you to do so and we'll put a link to it on our website. They categorically deny that. And then they also state correctly, how could she ask for a correction when we simply reported what was in court records? So that her deflection on that, also complete garbage. Again, if an attorney had been there to say that, they would say, well, Erica, isn't it true that this was in court records? Isn't it also true that you know, there's no basis for asking for a correction? Like, I think she outright lied about that, because I don't think attorneys would write letters asking for corrections on things which they know cannot be retracted or corrected. I mean, attorneys aren't journalists, but it's like, I don't think they would waste their time doing that if there's no point in writing the letter. So, I mean, maybe some would to bill hours, but I don't. A reputable attorney probably would not. So the other thing that she said at the reunion was, when she was asked by Andy, which was a good question, that people believe that when you were talking about Tom's car accident and his brain injury, that you were attempting to somehow control the narrative or change the story to say that any type of misappropriation of funds or of settlement payments that he was accused of was done because of his brain injury and his, you know, dementia or whatever. And she said no, and that she's not a doctor, and she was just, you know, saying what she saw. However, she was very specific on when, in that scene where she's talking to Garcelle, and then also in the scene when she is at the dinner table with everybody and she's recounting that whole nonsense car accident story that still has never made any sense to this day, no matter how many times she retells it. She's very specific. She uses a catchphrase. She says TBI. And in brain injury litigation, that's traumatic brain injury, that's an acronym that's used. She's familiar with it. Kimberly Archie discusses the traumatic brain injury litigation that Tom had going on. That's a real specific. She was very specific. She's like noticing, like, you know, he, if you remember from watching the show, she talked about how, you know, he just was not himself and he would repeat things. And it was very clear that she was trying to make a case that he did have a brain injury 3 years before she filed for divorce or whatever, and that that was part of the issue. So he kind of, Andy did press her a little bit about on that, but like, I felt like she kind of got away with it just by saying, I'm not a doctor, so I'm just reporting. Also, I mean, for someone who's not a doctor, she certainly made the call to refuse anesthesia on the basis of Tom's traumatic brain injury. So she certainly felt like she was competent enough to do that. Like PK was saying, like, oh no, do the ankle. Don't do the brain. Do the ankle. Now, she says she didn't leave because where was she going to go? But she did leave and she started a new company. She rented a house. Like, the new company she started was like the Pretty Mess or whatever. She rented a house. She obviously was able to set up her own bank accounts. She was able to get her monies from Bravo transferred over to her name. So all of her excuses for not leaving earlier, is there any of them that make sense to you, Ceci?
No, I guess there might be a narrative that she's trying to put out that, I don't know if I even want to touch this, but that she was being controlled in a way. And I think maybe she felt like she couldn't leave psychologically. Does that make sense?
Like, I have met women that I, in the practice of law, I have met people that I think that is 100% accurate. It does not, if she was being controlled, how did she end up in Chicago, like, performing?
Her narrative is that he controlled all of their finances. So maybe she felt, I don't know, maybe she felt blind to that. Maybe she felt like without having control over that, she really couldn't go anywhere.
I'm not buying it. I, especially like when this stuff was first coming out, I think had a lot more leeway for Erica, because I have seen so many circumstances where spouses have no idea and they're completely innocent. They have no idea what their husband or wife has been doing. I think the video is still up on our Instagram of me making arguments to give her the benefit of the doubt, like from when this stuff first started coming out. But I just go back to Bethany's statement that you can't be smart and play dumb at the same time. She has been, you know, we saw her negotiating her book deal. We saw her.
Yeah, I kind of feel like her, I'm smart and badass and like, I know everything. It's all a front. It's all fake. I think really she's this lonely, now I'm going in on her psychologically, lonely, lost, incapable woman. I really do. And that's not to sympathize with her, because I still think she legitimately signed that stuff and legitimately got the money. But Tom seems fucking awful to me.
Okay. That's fine. But it's like, I don't think she stayed because she was afraid. I don't think she stayed because she was being controlled.
No,
I think she stayed because everything was being paid for. And she
had not as smart as she lets on. Yeah. And she did not have control over.
She had no complaints about anything Tom was doing ever. Like, she didn't. She
it was
didn't.
A front, though. She's okay. All a front. She's all fake. I'm sorry.
No. Here's what I'm saying.
I think, like, everything she said on the show was fake.
I'm not going to argue with that. But what I'm saying is that there was no motivation or incentive for her to leave until the money ran out or was running out.
Oh, yeah.
Law firm was paying for her Lambo. The law firm was funding Erica Jane. The law firm was literally paying for everything she could ever possibly want.
Allegedly.
The law firm paid for all of her friends, all the people that she surrounded herself with are people she paid. Like all of her, you know, glam squad and her entourage. Those were.
Right.
So there was no. I mean, you can say she was lonely, but she was paying for
people. Without that, she's nothing. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, without that, she is literally nothing.
Well, yes.
I mean, now she's, like, building herself up. But without all that, who is she? You know? All she gave us on the show was glam squad. Without that, she's nothing. So I still keep going in psychologically. I think she was, like, afraid because she doesn't know who she is.
I mean, yeah, we got to go back on the reality is and talk to them about, because they are the best at like talking about the reality is a podcast Ceci and I both love. We've appeared on it. They are fantastic. And they're so good.
Probably could have been on there for like 6 hours.
Yeah,
talking about this stuff.
Like did not want to stop talking to them. Like, first of all, I love hearing them laugh at each other's jokes and they're so insightful. Like I listen to their podcast and I literally feel smarter. Like I feel like my emotional intelligence has gotten higher, which is really, really comforting as an attorney. I especially encourage attorneys to listen to it because we don't get to our brains just don't have the opportunity to work that way with our jobs. Like you have to be so analytical. So it's like it's almost like giving my brain like a nice cool bath in like like an emotional intelligence exercise. But
I think I have like a flaw though where I try and figure out why someone behaves the way they do.
Some people are just awful, like, Ceci. I'm old and so I know that.
Yeah, that's how my boyfriend feels about the world. He's like, some people are just bad people, but I don't know, I have to find a reason. Yeah, and maybe I'm giving her too much credit and maybe a little too much sympathy, but I still think she's awful. I want to emphasize that. I don't think that relationship was very good.
Here's my thing. I think that she actually did care for Tom. I think she respected him, which is actually, I think she had genuine respect for Tom. Do I think he, you know, treated her appropriately all the time? No. Do I think that he maybe was dismissive of her at times? Yes. I mean, they have a huge, massive age difference. He probably didn't treat her in any way as like a contemporary. But like, I think she 100% respected Tom. I actually think that she did care for him. My thing is, it's like, okay, either you left him because he ran out of money or you left him because he had dementia. And now you abandon him to deal with all of this stuff alone. Yeah.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I am excited to see her without this money, though. Like, I hate her, I don't want her to be on the show anymore. It'll be interesting to see who she is.
I don't think we'll ever see who she is.
No, that's fair. I think we should take a little break and listen to some words from a sponsor.
All right. So we've talked about some of her statements on their reunion and our kind of lawyer responses to them. I want to talk about how, so lying by omission is still lying. There are specific legal claims even that are based on this concept. So it's called fraud by omission. If there is a material fact that you know that another person would base a decision or something on, and you fail to reveal that fact, that is fraud by omission, and that is an actionable legal claim. I'm not saying that like what anything Erica did is something we could sue her over because we've been defrauded, but I'm saying that's still lying. Like, so you can't just be like, oh, well, I didn't reveal stuff, so I didn't lie. I don't agree that that's how that works. When she was asked about the victims, her response was, and I quote, "Understood. However, understand this. We are a long way from understanding what is going on here. I loved my husband. Now he is allegedly defrauding widows, orphans, and burn victims. How do you think I feel? Horrible. If anyone in these cases is proven wronged, I want them remedied despite what you may have read." So here's, we've already kind of discussed this a little bit, but she's talking about widows and orphans. Okay, those are the plane crash victims. That's from the Lion Air case. And Tom admitted to that. The federal judge found him in contempt also for not paying that. So that's not an alleged victim that happened. Burn victims, that's Ra Gomez. Anybody that watched the first Hulu special, The Housewife and the Hustler, he has a judgment, an enforceable judgment. A court of law has said that that is a victim that Tom stole his money. So even in this where she's supposed to be like addressing like how she feels bad for the alleged victims, she calls them alleged. They're not alleged. Even the ones she mentions are not alleged. So that infuriated Ceci and I. We did an Instagram post about it. We posted on Twitter. You can't, this is not alleged. Even the ones she mentioned.
It infuriated a lot of people. I want to note, we have like really, really smart listeners.
Oh my God, they're so smart.
We probably have the smartest listeners out of any podcast. But like everyone, when we asked for questions, was like, please explain the alleged thing again. This is not alleged. And it's like, yeah, we get you. We are angry with you.
It's like, you yeah. are correct. You're like, I yeah. was so, when we asked for listener questions, I was so impressed with the depth of insight, intelligence, and like just general acumen as to like the questions that needed to be asked. And they were so good. Like, y'all, our listeners are smart and we are very impressed with you. So we just want you to know that.
Yeah. And we'll get to the listener questions in the next episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just as a preview.
So that just, we're clearing that up. And then when she was asked about being named in lawsuits from victims to, you know, collect money, she becomes instantly sarcastic and dismissive and says, quote, "I am being sued by people who think I have some magical pot of gold at the end of some rainbow." Okay. That is so dismissive.
So dismissive.
Of the people who were robbed. So first of all, this is not, I want to talk about this again, because this is, as attorneys, it horrifies us. The absolute worst thing an attorney can do is steal money from the person that he or she is supposed to be seeking justice for. They talk and you don't even commingle funds. If you're unclear about this, listen to our Jersey versus Girardi episode where we go into this in detail. But Erica's statement about this, "I am being sued by people who think I have some magical pot of gold at the end of some rainbow." Like, she is basically saying there, these people are so stupid, they think that I have something that, like, something of theirs. Well, okay, the fact that she can act that way when she's walked around on TV for 5-6 years now, flaunting all of her wealth, writing songs called "It's Expensive to Be Me," and like wearing rings that cost $125,000, talking about how she has two jets, flying her glam squad, saying, "Oh, I spend $40,000 a month on glam." The fact that she can be dismissive of people who think that she has assets from her husband is infuriating, because that is 1,000% reasonable. I'm just like yelling
the
now.
The thing is, like,
I'm just yelling.
I know. You go, girl. You rant. The thing is, though, like, she would have a pot of gold if she didn't spend it. She would literally have a pot, you know, like, if she $25 million is what is being alleged that she spent from the firm.
Yeah.
She would have a friggin' pot of gold if she didn't spend it. So it's just like, yeah, of course you don't have a pot of gold because you fucking spent it.
Oh, she still, you know, has stuff. I mean,
well, yeah, she definitely has stuff, but take all of what she spent, add it up. That's where it is, Erica.
Yeah. Erica, we watched you. Tom's victims were already victimized by some other circumstance. That's why they went to Tom, because they wanted justice and they'd been hurt or had terrible damages in some way. So they were already victims once, and then they were victimized by their lawyer. And then they have this woman on TV trying to act like they're stupid for thinking that she might have assets that belong to her husband. Like, it's so egregious. And I almost feel like we've gotten used to her acting that way. Okay, here's another reason why I am so, like, hot right now, is because I am like on fire right now. I happened to look at, like, stumble across, it was on Queens of Bravo, a clip where Erica, and this is from the, like, the Zoom Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion, where Erica lays into Denise for, like, saying, like, Denise is trying to make them look bad, like, and just going after Denise. And I watched that clip before I sat down to record this, and I just got it very fired up. Maybe I'll post that on our website too, the link to it, because it was on Queens of Bravo's Twitter, and so you can watch it and be just as mad as I am. Like, it really lit a fire for me to, like, go just lay into Erica. Okay. The next thing that I want to rant about. At the reunion, Erica self-importantly states that she showed up and LVP didn't, when Andy was trying to question her about, you know, don't you think that maybe there's a double standard here with the level of questioning that LVP got about selling a Radar Online story, which, by the way, who fucking cares? Everyone knows I'm an LVP stan at this point, so I don't hide that. I'm, you know, I disclose that. But, like, even if LVP did do that and then wasn't truthful about it, who fucking cares? Like, who cares? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, that's not even that's not some sort of terrible sin. But So Erica says, well, I showed up and LVP didn't. No one pointed out that Erica is showing up because she is in desperate need of a paycheck. LVP doesn't in any way need a paycheck from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. She has all of her own monies, all of her own restaurants. She has her, you know, Vanderpump Rules. She doesn't. She has her own show. Like, she doesn't need to show up. There was no reason for her show up. Same with Denise.
Same with Denise. Yeah. Like, same with Denise.
So, you know, I would have loved to have.
Yeah, Erica, you went to work.
Yeah.
You went to your job.
You have to be here because you need to pay your attorney's fees and you're going to need to probably pay the IRS. So you.
And with Denise, she was helping the show.
Yeah.
You know,
she was absolutely helping the show. One of the things Ceci and I are working on, too, is a series where we use Real Housewives arguments to explain different types of logical fallacies and arguments. I am currently working on one, and this is going to be posted on our YouTube, which, by the way, we are also, this is a treat, posting on our YouTube, our very first YouTube video, and it is explaining Jen Shah's money laundering charges. And so we explain what money laundering is, and it's kind of a supplement to our podcast. We'll tell you more about that stuff later. But one thing I want to point out now is it was infuriating that nobody pointed out the logical fallacy in Erica's argument when she was questioned about how, okay, it's not unreasonable for your friends to be supportive of you, but then also still have questions about what's going on. Those two things aren't mutually exclusive. Like, I can be friends with Ceci and still, you know, question her about something that happened that I don't understand or a choice that's been made, or ask Ceci a question of, hey, you know, I heard this about you. Is it true? Like, those things aren't mutually exclusive, right? Like, Erica has this almost like, either you're with me or you're against me, and you are not allowed to ask a question and still be seen as supportive of her. But no one was pointing that out. Like, that was...
Oh, no, but she said she welcomes questions.
But Andy did. Like, everybody did try. I will give them credit. They did try to point out that, well, when they ask you a question, it doesn't go well. And she's like, well, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? It's like, what we want you to do is quit acting like a petulant... I'm not gonna call her names.
We're gonna have to like put the setting on this as explicit.
I'm not gonna call her names. I stopped myself because that's not who I am. But we'd like you to stop being petulant and recalcitrant, like, and insolent. How about that? Use vocabulary
girl.
Words.
Yeah, get it with your dictionary.
Use vocabulary words. So, that's what we want. Okay. Then when she's questioned about, I really do wish someone had cross-examined her about
might be cross-examined at some point.
I mean, like at the reunion, but like when she was, like, they were trying to ask her about like her crazy nonsense statement to Kyle. And she's like, you know, when Tom's house is broken into and, you know, we had to call the police and there's a burglar. And then my son.
Oh, my God. I love that quote. I love the one
where. I'm going to print it out and put it on the wall. I'm not kidding. Like,
oh, my God. It's so the meme where it's her and Jen Shah's like on the phone in the van. And they're like, listen to me. What you're going to say is Tom's house was broken into. I love it.
I love it. So Erica's response was, I will not talk about why it was snowing. Okay, you talked about the fact that it was snowing on the show. So here's the other infuriating thing.
Why isn't she showing up? Yeah. She claims she shows up.
No one pointed out, okay, well, you're saying you're showing up. You are trying to shade LVP for not showing up.
You're just a body.
And you're just
not giving us anything.
Yeah.
You're just sitting there.
The fact that Mary Cosby, who, again, we have another episode about. I very much encourage you to listen to it. Mary Cosby talked about an accident on The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City that was verified immediately. So if Mary Cosby can talk about a very easily verifiable auto accident, why can't Erica?
Are you talking about the one where she was like talking about it in front of the children?
Yeah, I mean, it was the whole thing. The whole scene was completely nuts, completely insane. However,
she's like, And then he died. It's like, oh my God. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. But you know what? Everything Mary said about that accident was accurate and immediately verified, like easily verified. But Erica can't. No, there hasn't been a single auto accident that Erica's talked about that has any verifiable facts. Not one. Not one. Which, by the way, California Highway Patrol, you get in an accident, like it gets reported. Like accidents are reported. But not if they involve anyone in Erica's family. They're just, it's a mystery. So, but Mary Cosby has verifiable auto accidents, which, by the way, it was a horrible tragedy. But it again. So Mary Cosby can do it, Erica. Why can't you? That's my point there. So, all right, my next rant. Erica going after Sutton. People are not going to listen to our show for this. It's just this, like, just this woman yelling the whole time. All right. Erica going after Sutton. Erica's, you know, like she won't apologize and to Sutton, and she calls Sutton horrible names. And then she like talks to Sutton. She's like, you know, well, why don't you just give me the name of that attorney that left Tom's firm? Because that would help me. Help me. And Sutton, being a gracious Southern woman, is like, okay, I'll help you. You know, I'll find out the name and I'll give it to you. Which, Sutton, don't. But also...
Yeah, piss off. Don't do that, yeah, Sutton.
Sutton, don't. But also, like, I can't think of a single way that would help Erica except give her a finger to point at someone else. Like...
Also, she has the motions that we talked about in our last episode from the former partners that say we left because, you know,
right.
This was, we knew that Tom was taking funds. So just use that. What do you mean?
Yeah, it does.
What do you mean you need this person's name? David Lira, go talk to your, what is it, her brother-in-law?
Go talk to him. Yeah, I don't.
You know?
I think she's hoping it's somebody else that maybe knew something and then didn't reveal it. And then she can, like, sue them for negligence. And then, because it's, you know, what? I don't know.
We have those two declarations. Just use that if she needs it. But I don't know. Okay. Help me. Yes, Erica. You're the victim. You need the help.
All right. Rant continuing. All right, so that like scene where she's like, it pauses dramatically and stares up in the air, and it's like, when Andy asks her, like, well, have you asked him if he did it? And she said, I asked him, why would you? It's not okay. Why would you leave me with millions of dollars in lawsuits pointed at me? And then Andy Cohen, quote, did you ask him if he stole from these people? Erica, quote, Andy, he doesn't even acknowledge anything. None of it. It doesn't matter what he says because he's incompetent. So I'm holding the effing bag. End quote. This is direct quote from Erica from the reunion, right? So that's not true, first of all, in a court of law. Now, there's rules of evidence. There's the criminal resource manual. There's all kinds of things in determining competency in conducting a hearing. And just because a witness has been deemed incompetent doesn't mean that they can't speak or testify under oath in a court of law. That's not necessarily true. So that doesn't necessarily, like, Erica sounded like she was trying to say that Tom, you know, is just going to get away with everything and is not ever going to have to testify in court or whatever. I do not believe that that is accurate. And again, Erica is not an attorney. So.
Also, that doesn't mean that if there is a judgment against him, or which there is, like we've pointed out, that he can't pay it back. You know, his brother is his conservator right now and is managing his accounts, his assets, his medical decisions, similar to how Britney Spears was in a personal and estate conservatorship, which she no longer is. Free Britney, woohoo. But his brother is kind of like acting as him in the personal bankruptcy and can... give them the money if, you know, like he has control of the accounts. So it's not like Tom, everything he has suddenly goes away and because he's mentally incompetent, you know, like they can still get money from him. So that doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't make any sense. She did that as a deflection and it does not make sense. Okay, I'm going to say this is my last bit of my rant.
But this is what the people wanted, so.
Well, I feel
like the rant.
I feel like everyone is feeling similar feelings to me. All right. So this is, again, Andy asks Erica if she will apologize to Sutton for threatening Sutton at Kathy's dinner. Erica says, well, let me explain. Here's what I was saying. And then Kyle Richards is like, yeah, I don't think anyone understood what you're saying. It's like, shut up, Kyle. Like, goodbye, Kyle. Although I don't hate
Kyle. Oh, except I kind of like Kyle now. Yeah.
I guess on Reddit, like, she's very disliked. I actually don't dislike Kyle. I like her.
Yeah, I don't actively dislike her, yeah. But yeah, she does. I don't know.
I mean,
she
in
does
a feud,
annoying shit sometimes.
I'm going to take LVP's side, but like, I don't actively despise Kyle. I think she made the wrong choice in that feud, but like, and yeah. I can see why people are annoyed by her, but I also, there's a lot of things I really like about Kyle and enjoy about her. And I,
yeah. And on the girls' trip, she comes across so much more likable.
I'm going to end my rant now with this last thing. All right. Cause this is a big one. So, Andy asks Sutton if she'll apologize for threatening Sutton at Kathy's dinner. Erica's like, I'll tell you what that one's about. And she says the threat was that she wouldn't give Sutton grace when something came up about Sutton on the show. And Erica's like, oh, you know, everyone has something going on. This year it's me. Next year it might be Sutton. And I'm not going to give Sutton the grace that she wouldn't give me about not asking me questions. That is garbage. Erica said, quote, you ever call me a liar again, I'm coming for you. And then Erica at that dinner specifically pointed out that, like, you know, Tom ain't here, but he's not dead, honey. Like, she was obviously threatening Sutton with lawsuits. She was threatening Sutton with legal action. She was not saying, she was like basically saying, I'm going to send Tom after you. Like, not basically, like, she threatened her. She threatened Sutton. Like, and nothing scares rich people more than lawsuits. I know, I'm a lawyer. Like, she was.
Yeah, but let's be real. Erica can't afford another lawsuit. So
no, but
I think Sutton's fine.
But no one knew that at the time. Like, no one knew the extent of what was going on at the time. Like, at the time of Kathy's dinner, like, it was still incredibly unclear as to what was going on and everything. Like, Tom had not been declared incompetent yet. Like, none of that had happened yet.
Yeah.
So it was.
Yeah. But I kind of understand what Erica said at the reunion now watching the Girls Trip episodes.
Mm. Which, by the way,
in the fourth episode,
is fantastic.
It's so good. So good. So I apologize if people haven't watched the fourth episode yet. I just have to bring it up. They were all talking about how, like, they make packs, not, they didn't use these words, with their friends to not bring up certain things. And someone said to Kyle, they were like, oh, like the Erica stuff, if she asked you not to bring it up, you wouldn't bring it up, right? And so it seems like they have, like, negotiated what they'll bring up and what they won't bring up with friends.
Yeah.
And if someone brings it up on camera, that, like, ruins friendships. And so I think Erica initially was mad with Sutton for bringing it up on camera with specifics, but she definitely did threaten her with a lawsuit at that dinner. So she's wrong.
Yeah.
But now getting that insight, it's like, oh, like, I didn't realize Luann was pissed at Bethany for bringing it up on camera. You know, like, it's a whole other layer.
Yeah. And Luann was like, at least a warning so you can prepare yourself. Just like Rinna was, like, admitted at the last Beverly Hills reunion that she 100% gave Erica a heads up about everything that they were going to ask her about. Like, so, I mean, I do like that they're finally acknowledging that there's these packs. And I think that was, like, really great to see on the show and, like, have some of that, like, subtext pointed out, because we all kind of know it and we all talk about it. But, like, having them actually admit to it and discuss it and kind of break the fourth wall, which is what that episode was called, was great. So 10 out of 10, recommend.
Yeah. I think Erica just wished that, like, Sutton had given her a heads up before bringing it on camera in that special meeting, but it did not warrant that.
No, she was straight up threatening her. She was,
oh my god, she was horrible
with litigation, everything else. Like, so I again, Erica was telling a partial truth. Do those types of agreements happen? Would she, like, have preferred her to talk to her in a different way, like, you know, off camera, whatever? Yes. But at that dinner, she was absolutely threatening Sutton. And
yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I said the last one was the final, but I have one more thing with the rant. Okay. Garcelle and Andy, via Queens of Bravo, pointed out that no one called Erica a bully, despite the fact that, as Ceci and I have both discussed, she was absolutely threatening lawsuits, threatening all kinds of things, and being an outright bully. However, Garcelle gets called a bully by Dorit. So Erica's response is, oh, so quote, it's okay to call someone a liar. Okay, first of all, Erica, you are a liar. You lie. You have lied. You've lied multiple times. That's what a liar does. Second of all, that does not answer the question. Like, Erica was being a bully. And that doesn't have anything to do with the fact that it was unfair that Garcelle was called a bully and no one else there was, especially Erica, who was the one that was being a bully all season when she felt backed into a corner. So it's they let her get away with that argument because she's just deflecting. She's like just she's set up basically like a straw man argument saying like it's OK to call someone a bully or call someone a liar. It's like that's not what we're talking about. Like that's not the argument we're attacking. Like it's that's not the point. So, OK, my rants are over now. I feel better, actually.
Good. Good. This was Angela's therapy session about Erica.
I was so excited to get my voice back. So I was yelling, even though it's not 100%.
That was great. We hope you enjoyed that episode. Tune in to the next episode where we go over everyone's listener questions that we haven't already answered and give you some more insight into the Erica drama.
Bye, guys.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The Bravo Docket is part of the Acast Creator Network.